This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My goal is always to be in the Hall of Fame. Was your goal always to be in the Hall of Fame? So, worthy goal, whatever industry you happen to be in. And there are a lot of people out there who get inducted into their high school halls of fame or their university and college halls of fame, maybe their local town or county hall of fame, their state hall of fame. A lot of different ways that you can be immortalized for whatever you are really good at. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. 855-212-4227. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, you know that we've twisted it here and we've turned it into the Hall of Flame. One of my classic Amy Lawrence epic pronunciation moments where I was thinking Hall of Fame and it came out Hall of Flame. And speaking of immortality, that's exactly what happened. But we have not done a Hall of Flame induction in months. Now, in part, we've been changing producers, and so we're trying to get acclimated, get ready for football season. That's another reason. It's a lot to handle with just one person behind the double-paned glass. We've just reintroduced Ask Amy Anything as part of our hump show, but I've been thinking about the Hall of Flame induction and knowing that we need to add a new inductee very soon. It's been a long time, and so I promise you before the end of the month, we will do a new Hall of Flame induction, and we'll get producer James acclimated to that as well. And also, because it's my favorite thing that we do here on the show, I've missed it, and it's time to get some of you newer listeners to understand how much fun it is and how goofy we can be here on the show. We're going to have some good candidates, though. We've been stockpiling them. We'll have to go through them and pick the four best candidates, but it's great. It's the complete opposite of a Hall of Fame, actually. The Hall of Flame. The After Hours Hall of Flame. We get to call it a Hall of Flame Friday, so we'll do that before the end of September. We're about to hit official autumn, so the fall season, which is, I don't know, if you ask me, it's probably my favorite. Well, but I love flowers, so spring might be my favorite. But I really love the temperatures that are cooler, especially in the mornings and late at night when I'm out and about. And I love, love, love it when there's no humidity. And so I'm ready for the humidity to be done. I was running in my neighborhood, actually, on Sunday morning because my neighbor asked me to do the local 5K. And it was so beautiful out. It was easy to breathe. I don't love running, and my neighborhood's really hilly. So there were times where it was excruciating, especially on the heels of hiking 7 miles on the Appalachian Trail on Saturday. I didn't plan that very well. In fact, I'm still limping. I'm still sore. My lower body is still really sore. You should have heard me getting out of bed on Monday. Like, ow! ow. It still hurts. Because you know when you're hiking, you're using all different muscles and you're stepping on uneven terrain. And in Pennsylvania, which is where I was hiking part of the Appalachian Trail, if you haven't seen the pictures, actually they're up on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Here, I'll retweet them if I can find them while I'm talking to. But yeah, on Saturday, we were originally supposed to go under 6 miles. Don't ask me how the leader of our group miscalculated and completely underestimated, but we ended up going more than 7, in fact, closer to 7.5. Here, I'll retweet them right now, A-Law Radio. Beautiful day, but it was uber humid, even up in the mountains. And so by the time we got done, I smelled like a mixture of bug spray, multiple kinds of bug spray, 100% DEET being part of it, because the bugs in the mountains, the bugs were just, they were all over, they were swarming. And just the sweat and everything else, it was gross. Plus it had been raining. And so you had that kind of smell as well. Anyway, so we hiked all over. We did more than 7 miles. I was completely exhausted, as you can imagine. By the time I dumped off, the kids, there were a couple of kids that were with us, and I was responsible for getting them back to their family. It was a fun outing for them, some kids I know from my church. And so once I dropped off the kids and battled the traffic and got home on Saturday afternoon, I was completely pooped. Then I'm thinking, you dummy, you actually signed up to do a 5K in the morning. In about 16 hours, you're supposed to be awake to run a 5K with your neighbor. So I didn't plan that very well. Now, a 5K is not that far. It's 3.1 miles, and I do twice that in one of my easy training runs right now. So it's not that I can't run it. It's just coming off of the hiking. So anyway, I do the 5K on top of the hiking. And then Sunday afternoon, as I'm sitting in the chair taking my football notes, I make myself get out of the chair every couple hours just so that I don't turn into a total couch potato. And it was painful because my muscles had gotten cold and tight. Oh, heavens, it's a good thing that there was no one around to hear my groaning. No! And then going up and down the stairs the last couple of days. So I'm supposed to play golf on Tuesday. I think we're riding a cart. I don't think we're walking because I'm not sure I could survive 18 holes with the shape, or I guess the pain that I'm still feeling. It's a good kind of pain. And I'm really proud of myself for all the exercise this weekend. But yeah, I didn't plan that so well. So it's a good thing you can't see me getting up and down out of my chair or walking around the CBS Sports Radio studios. So yeah, we're glad to have the football weekend behind us. It was a great weekend. It was beautiful weather on Sunday specifically. Still a little humid on Saturday, but I'm looking forward to that being done with the advance of autumn now. And hoping very soon that it'll feel crisp and clear and a lot more like football weather. And I know that doesn't apply to all of you. Obviously, we have listeners in places like Las Vegas, where it's still super hot, or in the Los Angeles, San Diego areas. There are a lot of places in the country, Florida, where people listen, parts of Texas. I know my mom, they've had some cooler nights in Texas, but they've also still had temps get up into the 90s. And so, yeah, there are lots of places where you don't get the four seasons. But if I'm put to the test, I would say fall is probably my favorite season for a lot of the reasons that I've been talking about. It's just so much fun to be outside when I can breathe that clear, non-humid, crisp air. So happy almost autumn. Yay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And yes, of course, fall means football, and that's a major part of the equation. So I'm glad you like the photos. Again, you can find those on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then I don't know if I put any on Facebook, actually. Maybe I will finagle a couple of them on Facebook. We have a lot of stuff on Facebook that you are responding to and answering. And so maybe we won't overload you, and I'll save those until Tuesday or something. But I promise I'll share them at some point. You all are very kind to care about what I do when I'm not in the office. Most of it is really boring. Let me just tell you, people talk to me about my glamorous life. Oh, yes. My assistant or my driver or you know, this endless amount of money I have to just pay everyone to do everything for me. Some of you have the strangest ideas about what it's like to work in radio. But yes, you think it's very glamorous. Oh, yeah. So glamorous. My life is so boring. My dog, my cat, my traveling, that's probably the most exciting parts of my life. Really, the rest of it is not all that exciting. But I'm glad that you are interested, so thank you. Grammy Helen, she's a very exciting part of my life, and she's doing well. So that has nothing to do with football, except that Grammy Helen does watch the Green Bay Packers, so I know a lot of you expect that she will have some great breakdown of this particular game against Detroit. She probably watched it, but my gram also does not stay up late and watch TV, so I'll bet you money she turned it off at halftime. I didn't ask her. I'll have to reach out to her, but I'm pretty confident she probably turns it off at halftime. She usually spends a bunch of time doing her puzzle. She has a puzzle on a table next to her bed, so she does a lot of her puzzle at night. That's kind of how she gets ready for bed. So I'll bet she didn't watch the end of the game. A little bit late for 99-year-old Grammy Helen. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. What else is so predictable in sports? As predictable as Aaron Rodgers going out and throwing for 4 touchdowns and the Green Bay offense being nearly perfect on Monday night against Detroit, but also coming off of what was an embarrassing game against the Saints. What else is predictable in sports? I've got a bunch of answers, but I'll wait to hear from you either on social media or you can give us a call. A lot of you, though, are saying Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Okay, there's a distinct possibility that could happen again. Yes, JR says controversy outside the lines. Oh, yeah, and there's also controversy inside the lines. Snow, he says, things that are predictable in sports. Snow. I feel like we need more snow when it comes to sports. Football in the snow, especially at Lambeau, is probably one of my top football bucket list items, to go to a game at Lambeau Field in Wisconsin when there's snow. And when we had Leroy Butler on the air with us, oh gosh, going back to the summer, was it the summertime? I think it was when we were talking to him. He said, the next time you want tickets to Lambeau, you want to go to a snow game, you just let me know and I'll make sure I hook you up. And so I don't generally ask guests. I don't ask connections to give me tickets or to help me get into a particular venue. If I can't get in on my own, I don't need somebody to be doing me any favors. But I may actually ask him when that opportunity comes around again, because I love football in the snow. Chris on Twitter says the Lions are predictable as well for losing. Oh, I mean, they've had a couple of seasons in, what, the last 10 years where they were in double-figure wins and also made the playoffs. But yeah, it's been a really long time since they've won a playoff game, to be sure. I know those of you who are Lions fans, you know the exact date. What else is predictable in sports? 855-212-4227. Quarterback injuries, those are definitely predictable. And unfortunately, week 2 gave us a rash of QB injuries. So I keep a list on my phone every year because I like to compare it. But generally, the average is between 18 and 22 of the 32 teams will use multiple quarterbacks because of injuries or ineptitude. Okay, so injury is one way that teams make a quarterback change. But another reason that teams make a quarterback change is because their offense has stalled, or because their offense isn't responding to a quarterback, or because he's going through a confidence crisis, or because he can't stop turning the ball over, or because they just need a different voice and a different look, potentially a different skill set. If we're talking about, just for the sake of argument, the San Francisco 49ers, who have a Jimmy Garoppolo, who, yeah, he's mobile, but he's much more of a pocket passer, and their offense looks different when it's Trey Lance, which is why they brought him in the season opener for the situational type of snaps, where his skill set and his athleticism can be such a great weapon, or at the very least can be a decoy and a threat. So far to this point, we've only seen quarterback changes because of injuries, but we will at some point see quarterback changes because of ineptitude. Now, we could end up seeing that in Chicago. Though right now, if Matt Nagy wanted to, he could hide behind the Andy Dalton injury.
First and 20, 49-yard line, making play changes at the line of scrimmage. Andy Dalton takes the snap against a four-man rush. Tight pocket, begins to close. He ejects, runs right to midfield. 45-40, Montgomery with a block upfield, and out of bounds goes Andy Dalton. So he does it again and picks up some of what they lost. And now referees are going to discuss a potential hit out of bounds. No, there is a flag. Or no, Dalton down on one knee. Okay. Dalton may be dinged up here.
That was a nice...
Yep, Andy Dalton's dinged up. Out comes Justin Fields. Andy Dalton gingerly coming to the sidelines with a little help to the bench. Picked up 13 more. But Andy Dalton now getting looked at. And this is what Matt Nagy discussed. Be ready at any moment for sustained playing time.
That's Jeff Joniak and company on the Bears radio network. Now, in the wake of that game in which Justin Fields did have to come in, pressed into duty suddenly, he finishes up 6 of 13 for 60 yards and an interception. And you may remember that Bears were playing the Bengals. The Bengals had three consecutive possessions in the second half in which they turned the ball over. So Joe Burrow threw three interceptions on three consecutive drives. Roquan Smith returned one of those for a touchdown. But despite the fact that the Chicago Bears defense had this game well in hand and they were reading Joe Burrow like a book, Fields goes out there, throws an interception in the fourth quarter, and Burrow, because he's still Joe Burrow and he's got some weapons, has a touchdown not only right before his pick, but then, boom, is right back out there on the field and leads another touchdown drive. And so it was maybe uncomfortably tight for the Bears fans. So it wasn't this dynamic, I don't want to say debut, because we saw Justin Fields the week before that, but in terms of him actually running the offense and running it long term, this is the type of education that you don't get in the preseason. Because you're facing all the ones on defense, and because life comes at you fast when you're a rookie quarterback. Right? So what is the status now moving forward? Well, Matt Nagy was asked, in a manner of speaking, I guess, he was dodging questions, but a reporter was trying to find out information about whether or not Dalton is still the number one quarterback in Chicago.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your star? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
So Matt Nagy went back and forth with reporters and declined more than once to explain the quarterback situation. Is Andy Dalton the starter if he's healthy? He wouldn't clarify. But here's something funny. After he left the press room, the Bears sent a team official into the media room, same reporters, to announce this. Andy Dalton is still the Bears starting quarterback if he's healthy. Now, we don't know his status, but isn't that odd? Matt Nagy goes back and forth, almost like he's Kyle Shanahan and the reporters are wearing him out. Matt Nagy goes back and forth with reporters, calls it scheme, says, I'm not talking scheme, and won't answer a direct question. But right after he leaves, the Bears trot a team official in there, and they announce that, yes, Andy Dalton is still the starting quarterback if he's healthy. That's odd. Did Matt Nagy have a change of heart? Because there's no way a Bears team official goes trotting into the media room to share that information to make that announcement if Matt Nagy doesn't know about it. So that's a little weird, right? As for Andy Dalton, early tests show there is no ACL tear. But he did suffer a knee injury. His knee buckled as he was running, scrambling toward the sidelines. Picked up 15 yards and then is hopping on one foot as he gets off the field of play. He re-entered the game for a series, but then went back to the locker room before halftime. rest of the time did not have his helmet on. And so Justin Fields was out there. We don't know about week number three. Just odd. Very strange to have a team official follow Matt Nagy into the press room. According to the team official, Nagy didn't understand the question. Also strange. Why even bother? Just say he had a change of heart. He's not dumb. Of course he understood the question. What is that about?
As long as I can keep surviving press conferences.
It's the prevailing sentiment. I know. We're hard-hitting. 855-212-4227. I understand there was a post on our Facebook page, too. What else is predictable in sports in addition to Aaron Rodgers coming back on Monday Night Football and showing off his MVP form? On Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The 1-2 pitch. He jumps on a high pitch, loops it into left center field, and Bader runs it down and runs on his way to the third base dugout. Good pitch there by Lester. Ricky has the seventh. After six in Milwaukee, the Cardinals lead 3-2. Here's a ground ball right side of the infield. Goldschmidt has it. Flips to the pitcher for a Redbird winner. Luis Garcia got over to first base to retire Eduardo Escobar, and this ball game has come to an end. The Cardinals have extended their winning streak to 9 games. They've won 11 of their last 12. And they beat the Brewers tonight 5-2.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of John Rooney on the Cardinals radio network. So a lot going on there as they not only get a strong performance from John Lester, but also win their 9th consecutive game. So let's start with the standings and what this means for the St. Louis Cardinals. They are still 10.5 games behind the Brewers, despite this 9-game win streak and despite that victory against Milwaukee in the NL Central. But with this strong run, this stretch run by the Cardinals in which they have put their best foot forward, they are now 11 games above 500. And while they are not going to catch the Dodgers as the top wild card, if in fact it remains Dodgers as the number one wild card, St. Louis is putting distance between itself and Cincinnati, and also the San Diego Padres, who at this point are barely above 500. Phillies still technically in there as well, but right now it feels more like a 4-team race, if not just a 2-team race. So you don't want to count out a team like Cincinnati with its leadership and the way that they have prevailed and maintained their contending status over the course of the season. So right now in the National League, we've talked about this, both the Giants and Dodgers have clinched playoff spots. The Milwaukee Brewers did the same over the weekend. So they're at 91 wins now. Dodgers are at 96. San Francisco Giants are just a game ahead of the Dodgers in the NL West. So that very well could end up flipping. Either way, both those teams are headed to October, as are the Brewers, and likely we'll see the Cardinals or the Reds, and then the Braves still have a 3-game lead over the Phillies in the NL East. Another home run for Adam Duvall on Monday night, and a big victory for the Atlanta Braves, though nothing else has been set in stone in terms of playoff spots. And no team has clinched a playoff spot in the American League. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. That's the team portion of this. The individual portion is that John Lester becomes the third active pitcher and only the 30th lefty in baseball history ever to win 200 career games. And so he joins Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke, who are still technically, well, Verlander still technically active. He's sitting on 226 wins. Greinke is at 219. And Lester joins that group among active pitchers. This is a guy who was acquired from Washington at the trade deadline, and it has been a big part of this Cardinals surge in the second half. And so for John Lester, who's got World Series experience, who's pitched on just about every big stage you possibly can, it still matters that he can go out there and he can rack up these victories.
I was brought up in this game that, you know, your name is in that score box the next day, and it's either going to have a W or an L next to it, and hopefully more times than not, it's got those W's.
Yeah, more times than not. Well, 200 is a nice round number. He also pointed that out. Lester has worked at least five innings in 19 of his 26 starts this year. So not always quality starts, but since he joined St. Louis at the trade deadline, he's started five or more all but one time. So again, to give them that experience, to help them with that push, another reliable arm in the rotation. And here are the Cardinals seemingly closing in on a wild card spot, unlikely to catch Milwaukee, but closing in on a postseason spot, which would put Lester right back in the center of the action in October.
It could be a team anywhere, and I'm happy to be a part of a postseason run. You know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we all play for, is that World Series.
Congratulations to John Lester, and certainly congratulations to the St. Louis Cardinals on a 9-game win streak. This late in the year, you want to be playing your best baseball. 855-212-4227. A couple years ago, I would have said predictable in sports, the Cardinals being in the postseason, because for a long time, they were as automatic as, say, the San Antonio Spurs in the postseason, as automatic as the New England Patriots being the champions of the AFC East. But you know, nothing lasts forever. So what's predictable today in sports? How about fans complaining about flags? It annoyed me this weekend to see so many taunting flags. Oy. So I thought we would look at the emphasis on taunting a little bit from the NFL's perspective, because it definitely has been a point of emphasis in these first 2 weeks, but also my opinion on taunting. And you may or may not agree with me. It's something that we're likely to see more of this season. And so Pete Carroll, even in the wake of the Seattle Seahawks losing that game against Tennessee in overtime on Sunday, he was asked about the taunting flags and emotions getting the best of his players. So there's a few different ways we can go with that, but I would love to hear, again, your not predictions, but your sports outcomes that you think are as predictable as the sun coming up every morning. So A-Law Radio on Twitter or on our Facebook page. It's good to have you with us. Don't forget to vote for Monday MVP. And coming up next, we'll have your candidates for TD of the week, of course.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Good morning, Sunshine.
That's me.
Good morning, Amy. First time, long time. Love your show. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, Amy, love your work. Listen to you every night.
I appreciate that.
First time caller, and I love listening to you.
Thank you.
I guess you just attract a lot of black males.
I think I just attract a lot of males, sir. It doesn't matter if they're purple, red, or pink.
Oh, man, how you doing, Amy? This is my first time calling. Been listening to you for the longest.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the show for a long time and finally calling us up.
All right.
Have a good day.
Hi, Amy. I'm a first-time caller also.
Boom.
Two in a row.
Love that. We hear from new callers all the time.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Do you slide on all your knives like this? Do you try on all your knives like this?
I might.
Put some spotlight on the slide.
We always love to hear from you. If you are a new listener to the show, it happens multiple times a week that people post on our Facebook page or they find me on Twitter and they say, hey, I just found your show. I like your show. Do you have a podcast? How else can I listen to your show? So we have a zillion ways that you can tune in. You never, ever, ever have to say to me, I miss you, though that happens pretty often as well. No. You can listen on demand anytime you want with our podcast, which, by the way, is posted every weekday morning without commercial interruptions. So it's less of an investment. If you have a problem with commitment, it's less of an investment. And so you can listen to the entire show whenever you like. It's divided up by hours, and all of our interviews are podcasted separately. afterhoursamielawrence.com. But if you're with us and you're awake in the hours in which we are on the air, well, you can listen on your favorite affiliate. We have 300 plus affiliates around North America. You can also listen on SiriusXM 206. Or you can use a variety of apps. In fact, you can Google After Hours Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, and a bunch of different options will pop up. Of course, our favorite is the free and simple, simply easy Odyssey.com. That is our parent company now, Odyssey. And so it's really easy to find. Again, just Google the show and you'll have multiple ways in which you can tune in. So there's no need to ever miss us, and there's no need to ever worry about if your hours change and our hours do not change, because I don't foresee that happening anytime soon. I'm pretty happy with the hours that we're working right now. Love, love, love the Sunday nights into Mondays and then coming on the air right after the games are done each night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Saturday on CBS, it's a full afternoon of college football. It starts at noon Eastern. That's 9 o'clock in the morning for those of you Pacific time zone. We've got Mountain West action featured between undefeated Utah State and Boise State. Well, that's an early kickoff. Holy cow. If it's noon Eastern, you're talking about them kicking off at 10 o'clock in the morning Mountain Time. So that's Utah State and Boise State. Then at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, the SEC on CBS features 7th-ranked Texas A&M battling 20th-ranked Arkansas. It's all coming up Saturday only on CBS. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, your time is running out. And very soon we will introduce you to the candidates for TD of the week. We were just going through those, making sure we have the best audio. So it's a two-part process. It's not just about the most critical touchdowns and critical scoring plays of the week, but we want the best audio. And we've got some incredible NFL play-by-play announcers, both at the local and national levels. And so we sift through the various scores and we choose four of them that not only represent dramatic moments or wild finishes, maybe go-ahead touchdowns late in games, maybe turning points, but they're also the type of calls that will give you chills or get you fired up. So we'll reveal those to you, and you will choose then on Twitter or on our Facebook page. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I tweeted about this on Sunday because it was annoying me, and I heard other people in the industry talking about it. In fact, I had a conversation with Boomer Esiason about the taunting calls that we saw on Sunday. It certainly does seem like all of a sudden they're everywhere you look. And in some cases, it feels like they're for just a little jawing. We see players jaw on the field all the time. As long as the microphone is not picking up their profanity and broadcasting it over the air, or as long as they're not using either racial slurs or homophobic slurs, those are certainly ones that the NFL will not stand for obvious reasons. As long as they're not spitting on one another, which we heard reports of that as well. I dare say that happens more often than is reported. I don't get why it's such a big deal when one guy is jawing at another. Maybe he got the best of him. Now, do we need to go all Aqib Talib on your butt and start ripping people's chains off their necks? No. Seems like wearing a chain during a game would actually be inviting someone to rip it off your neck. But I don't have any issue with players yapping back and forth. Unless, again, their language goes against what the NFL wants to put out there as its public image, or is offensive to people who might be listening or watching. You got to be careful, because these days we know the cameras, well, they're everywhere, and they can pick you up facing the camera. There's always a camera that is in your face, and people are expert lip readers around the world. So you do have to be careful what you say, but if it's an MF-er, or if it's some other swear word that maybe we don't use on the radio or TV, but many people use in everyday conversation. These are grown men playing with a lot of intensity, a lot of fire. The adrenaline is real. It's a powerful, explosive, violent game. It's emotional. I don't have any problem with the guys being emotional. So here's something that I was thinking about as I was thinking about the emphasis on taunting and asking guys to not use the F word or other four-letter words, if that's the big deal. Do you need to stick a finger in somebody's helmet? No. You shouldn't be touching anyone else's helmet unless you're slapping him on the back of his helmet as his teammate. And you don't need to get in someone's face where you're about to poke his eye out, though that also happens in scrumbles. We know guys take double nut shots. That's according to Aaron Rodgers. We know all kinds of things happen at the bottom of a pile. But in terms of what guys should say or not say, I was reminded of my favorite TV show, which is SEAL Team. And it got renewed for a new season. It's going to debut on CBS, but then move to Paramount Plus. Now, I don't have Paramount Plus, but I'm going to have to get it just for the sake of watching SEAL Team because it's my favorite show. So it always struck me as funny that SEAL Team, because it's on CBS, it's primetime programming. They can't use swear words. So if it's on cable, it's fine. Once it moves to Paramount Plus, they're allowed to say the F word and other words that members of the military generally use. And not just members of the military. Americans, Canadians, anybody really who, I try not to use the F word. But I'll just be honest, when it comes out, it's because of golf or road rage or ex-boyfriends. I mean, I don't say it very often because I don't want it to be part of my vernacular on the air. I'm in stream of consciousness here. It's not like I think and plan every single thing I'm going to say before I say it, obviously. And so I have to be careful what's in my brain because what's in my brain will come out my mouth. So I'm careful about my language. But it's not like no one's ever heard the F word before. But on SEAL Team, again, because it was on CBS, it always was slightly humorous that this group of Navy SEALs in the most action-packed moments, under fire, under stress, they never did utter the F word or any other swear word. Well, that's not real life. I mean, they try to make it as authentic as possible. They actually have SEALs that work with them, and then SEALs who have turned into actors, or not really actors, but SEALs who are part of their team, who are more in the background, but our actual retired Navy SEALs on the show. So it's authentic, but their language is not. So are we really to believe that these athletes go out there on the field and never once jaw back and forth? And I don't need it to be that way. Larry Bird is my all-time favorite athlete. He was a trash talker extraordinaire. But here's the emphasis from the NFL this season. And it's come more into focus because we're seeing more taunting flags. And some of them are so suspect. It seems like we want to water down the intensity on the field. But Seahawks DB DJ Reed got a taunting call in the loss to the Titans on Sunday. And so Seattle's been saddled with a couple of them. But honestly, it felt like I didn't count. I should have. 7 or 8 games in which we saw taunting flags. But there is an emphasis on taunting calls in 21. How do we know this? Well, because Tony Romo spilled those beans on the broadcast between the Chargers and the Cowboys on Sunday. In fact, I almost tweeted it because it made me laugh. He said, "I'm a rule follower. That's me." So he wanted to know the emphasis on the rule changes as part of his training for this upcoming season. And so the catalyst behind this is John Mara, the owner of the Giants. This is a quote from him because he's part of the league's competition committee. And in August, he said, quote, "We get kind of sick and tired of the taunting that does go on from time to time on the field. We tried to balance the sportsmanship with allowing the players to have fun, and there's always a fine line there, but none of us like to see that." He goes on to say, "You can have rules that can be enforced and without taking the fun out of the game, but nobody wants to see a player taunting another player." I certainly don't. I think the rest of the members of the competition committee feel the same way too. Well, here's the question. How do you draw the line between taunting and trash talking? How do you draw the line between emotion and energy and adrenaline and poor sportsmanship? So it's an interesting question. Here's Pete Carroll about the taunting flags and the new rules and how to adjust.
You have to be accustomed to, you know, being in that kind of rage that we play in, you know, and know how to manage it. And we've got to stay cognizant of the rules and the, you know, and the planning of, you know, how the referees call the things, you know. And so sometimes the guys, you know, they might lose the interpretation a little bit, but I thought the game was called well. I don't think that there was any calls, you know, of the ones that I'm referring to that were in big question. So it was just a matter. Our guys have to just stay aware and make sure that they're mindful of the situations that they're in and make really good choices and decisions and protect us whenever they can.
How do you define taunting? I don't think players should be pushing, shoving, spitting, or putting their fingers into the helmets of opponents. But celebrating is not taunting. Celebrating and taunting are not the same thing. Celebrating in your opponent's general direction is also not taunting. Guys are going to go out there and celebrate. And for those of you who think they should act like they've been there before, well, some of them haven't. But even so, men and women, humans, when we get emotional, stuff comes out of our mouth. I was a big talker, but shocker, I know. I was a big talker when I was on the basketball court or the softball field. Now, I didn't yell at my opponents, but I yelled and I screamed and I encouraged and I got fired up and I fired up my teammates. If that bothers your opponent, then guess what? Don't allow us to get into a situation where we have the upper hand and we can gloat or we can taunt. So this to me feels like it's an emphasis meant to take some of the energy and excitement and enthusiasm out of it. I mean, certainly you can draw the lines. You don't need to be touching your opponent. You don't need to be poking your finger through his helmet or invading his personal space. But to yell or to celebrate, didn't we just see the return of orchestrated touchdown celebrations? Well, this seems to fly in the face of that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.